It's The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yeah, baby. Can I say, I know we didn't talk about it on the air, but I did, welcome, by the way, Buzz 24-7, Wednesday edition. I did hear from several people, many people, that listened to the last Buzz 24-7, where we voiced our disappointment in getting something taken from the boat by people that didn't belong to them. Listeners were very sympathetic. It felt very bad. And some even witnessed it.
What?
And it was kind of like a free-for-all. And it was just kind of weird. But, yeah. Hey, man, we screwed up. We made a mistake. You blame the people that did it, but, you know.
I was going to say.
We made it easy. We made it easy for them.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know we can't make that mistake. You know that.
Well,
you can't leave a box full of stuff right out there.
We made a mistake by trusting people.
Yeah.
Okay, that's horrible. I have to say.
I agree.
And it's not everybody.
No.
And I do not want to, because that was a phenomenal cruise. That was
stolen on the beer cruise.
That was a great crowd. Yeah. And I just mean, it's just, I don't get that.
I just want to say thank you for not taking my purse.
I don't either. I don't either. You lock your doors at night?
Every night.
That's why. That's what we do, you know, that's all. I'm not saying that the people that didn't screwed up, whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we made it easy. We shouldn't have made that mistake. We won't do it again. It wasn't us, but, you know, whatever. It happens. All right, but anyway, thank you. The point in bringing it up was to say thank you for the responses that we got. We appreciate it. We are in any minute now, if I understand this correctly. Scotty went out and grabbed this guy, and he said, what about this guy? Do you want to have this guy on? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Dude was in Indiana Jones movies.
Yep.
He was Indiana Jones' buddy.
Recognize his face.
Yeah.
You should. And if you don't recognize his face, you are going to recognize his voice.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yep. He was the Lord of the Rings. He was in the trilogy.
Laura, what did you think of those movies?
She wasn't a big fan of those
overrated movies of all time.
That was on your list.
Yeah. Indiana Jones, Salah. He played Salah. I believe that was his name in the Indiana Jones movies.
When Indy's up on the roof and he's getting ready. Was it an olive, or he was going to throw it in the air and then the guy grabbed it and looked over because the monkey was eating
it.
The monkey had died.
Yeah, it was a fig. Yeah, it was a fig.
I think the figs have gone bad.
Yeah. He helped save Indy a couple of times. Just, what is it like to even be in that level of a movie? You know what I mean?
But think about this.
He's been in a million movies and shows.
Locations. He's been all over the world to do these movies.
Wait to hear what I'm going to ask him.
I can't wait.
Wait to hear what I'm going to ask him. His name is John Rhys-Davies, and he's going to join us because he's coming to town, right, this weekend.
Yes, he is. He's going to be part of Granite State Comic-Con, happening right at the DoubleTree and also SNHU Arena. The con has grown. It makes me so happy. To see families out there, you know, having a good time.
Yeah,
mine have gone since we've been involved, and they're going again this year. So
Welsh, Kelly, he's a Welsh guy.
I read that.
Okay,
yeah, I remember him actually from the original Shogun.
Yeah,
the TV miniseries. I looked at his face and go, oh, that guy.
He was also in the show Sliders. I think he did a thing on Star Trek. I mean, this guy's got.
Yeah, he's done a few things.
He's done a few things. Yeah, I believe he's. Hold on. Let's see if John is ready here. Hold on. Hello?
Am I talking to a man called Roadkill?
Good morning. Oh, you made my day. You could make $1 million just doing people's phones greetings. That would be amazing.
From your ears to God's, Scotty.
John Rhys-Davies here. How are you, guys?
Fine. John, how are you?
Pretty damn good, considering the alternative.
Yes, it is. Yes. So, John, just so you know, we're in New England. We're in New Hampshire. I'm Greg. Roadkill is here. Laura is here. Also, Kelly.
He is also in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Oh, you're in New Hampshire now. Okay. Because he's obviously in for the Comic-Con. We were just talking about the Comic-Con. Thank you for calling us today. We were just talking about all of the projects that you've been in. Of course, Indiana Jones. What a very long and varied career you've had. Congratulations.
I've been very lucky, to be honest with you. That's And that's the one thing I try to tell young people who want to be actors. You know, you may be the best actor that ever lived, but unless you get the luck, unless you get the break, then you might never get your opportunity.
Yeah.
There's more luck in being an actor who earns his living than there is in any other profession, I think, that I know.
What was your first big lucky break?
Well, I called up my agent once and said, look, I'm really skint. The bank manager says I'm 110 pounds overdrawn. He said, leave it with me, John. I'll find you something. Called me back at the end of the day and said, look, there's a little thing on London Weekend Television. It's a live interview. It's a reconstruction of a live event of the murder of a woman called Biddy Gold. And they picked up the man who did it, and they actually recorded for the very first time his interview. And they want you to play that guy, and it has to be word perfect. So I did it, and a very tired casting lady came back from having watched half of a play in London, switched on her television, and she just happened to see it.
Wow.
And as a result of that, I got cast as Rodriguez in Shogun.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Which won me an Emmy nomination, and every American got to see it, and it introduced sushi to America.
Yeah.
And Blake Edwards then had seen it as well, and so he employed me in Victoria straight after that. And while we were doing it, Meg came up to me and said, Steven Spielberg has made a call to find out what you're like. And I've told him you're a man who probably beats small children and kicks dogs. I said that.
When you signed up and did Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, were you expecting more? Did you have any idea while you were doing that film that you'd get four or five more movies out of that?
No, I didn't. The script was unique. I've never seen a script like it. It was just pages and pages and pages of action description. My agent phoned up and he said, and don't forget, this is just after Stephen had done 1941.
Right.
Which we look at as being a rather good film.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, there was the feeling that, you know, the boy wonder, had really revealed that he didn't have any magic tricks anymore. And,
right.
And my manager, my agent said, look, you don't have to do this. And I said, good Lord. Look, of course I'm going to do it. It might be the biggest disaster of all time, but it might also set a new fashion in filmmaking.
And it did. And it did.
That's awesome.
And it did. John, I'm listening to you talk, and when you talk about how that woman saw you, and then that led to Shogun, and that led to Steven, and all of that, like, I would agree, there is an element of luck to that. But I also don't want to discount that you're really good. You have to, in order for that luck to work, John, you got to have the skill, and you do. So as much as I'm willing to say there is luck involved, there is also a great deal of skill.
You mean the 13 years in repertory?
Well, yes.
and RSC.
Yes.
Yes, that's what. And the wonderful thing is you make your mistakes in front of a smaller audience rather than 300 million.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, you do. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find I learn more from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Than I ever do from my successes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I've had a number of rather nice reviews in the course of my life.
I'm sure.
But I can virtually go verbatim over every bad review that I've ever had.
Right. John Rhys-Davies on the phone with us. Go ahead, Roque.
John, you take the role on Lord of the Rings. You spend 5 hours every other day putting on the makeup. What did you do to keep busy during those 5 hours?
Oh, gosh.
You can't go to sleep. That's the trouble. Because
yep.
You've got to keep your eyes closed, but then you've got to be able to open them and stretch ahead and turn left, turn right, in order for that big prosthetic to be put on.
Yep.
And I found most modern music quite banal, and I just insisted on every sort of damn classical opera or symphony being played, and it really, the texture of great music and the, you know, the detail of great music is so enchanting when you really have to listen to it, when you really listen. I mean, most of us just, you know, music is that wash in the background in the, you know, on the plane or in the you know, in the lift or in the hotel room or in the
car.
It's just a wash, really, and there are some damn good tunes that we all go and sing to, perhaps, in the car.
John, but, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
All I was going to say was I have to use this brief moment to go rah-rah for this fan convention that we're doing, don't we? You know, the first one I went to, I really didn't want to go. I had to go because I was promoting a show, and I can't even remember the show now. And I thought, what do I want to do this for? You know, 700 people dressed up like Captain Kirk, you know. Can't these people... can't these people get a life? And, of course, I went, and slowly it dawned on me that these people do have a life.
Yeah.
And for many of them, it's one of the most rich and heroic lives. You meet real ordinary heroes. Yeah, of course, you meet real heroes there as well. And you know, Rocket Man and you know, ex military guys. But you know, the I mean, I think of that 78-year-old mother with a child in not just a wheelchair, but he was virtually, you know, lying flat and being pushed around by his mom. His mother had had four sons, all of whom had inherited this awful, debilitating progressive disease. One had already died from it. Three of them had it, and one didn't.
Yeah.
The one who didn't had died in a car crash.
Whoa.
And there was one at home, too ill to be able to take, and there was this other one, you know, lying on his back, apparently oblivious to the world, being looked after by a 78-year-old mother who was doing what mothers do. Yeah, just magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, there is such a great glory in humanity. And if you can listen and open your eyes to it, you know, we are a magnificent species.
We are.
Magnificent.
And if you think about it, getting back to being lucky, I mean, you're lucky to have been involved in things and have a job where it means so much to so many people, right? I mean, I know you took a job, you wanted to make a living, you wanted to support your family, send your kids to school, but then you become a part of these projects that become part of people's lives, and they get great joy from them, you know? And that's another beautiful benefit. And you could do it this weekend at the Comic-Con. Scotty, where?
Granite State Comic-Con, right here in downtown Manchester, Doubletree. Also, it's gotten so big this year. Also, they're doing stuff at SNHU. There's wrestlers. Also, they're celebrating Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's the anniversary. And definitely John's going to be hanging out, and it's going to be a great day. And I'm looking forward to being part of it.
John, there's something I was thinking about that I wanted to ask. So in the movie, because, you know, sometimes when you watch, like, I bought 100% that, like, you and Harrison's character, just it felt like you were good longtime buddies. I mean, that's the job. But I really kind of felt it between you two. And that watching the scenes and seeing them so many times, what is it that Steven Spielberg does, you know, as a director that others don't? What does he do so much better? When you're out there in the field filming a movie, what does Steven Spielberg do so much better than everybody else? Not saying he's the best, but obviously he does it well.
I've worked with some of the greatest directors of my lifetime. Stephen is a man who... It's like working... Well, the first time I worked with him was it was like working with a young Mozart. You know, he could take anything and make it tuneful. He could take anything and make it magical.
Mm-hmm.
He has a technical awareness and a technical skill that really outstrips most directors.
Mm-hmm.
He was always getting fined by the Society of Operating Cameramen because he'd insist on operating the camera. Until finally they gave up, and I had the honor of presenting an award to him from the Society of Operating Cameramen.
Wow.
Which is rather wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a most remarkable director, but he knows every job well.
Yeah.
There was a little incident where I heard him giving a sharp talking to a 63-year-old technician. And you might think that, you know, a 30-odd-year-old man, you know, telling an older man who's been doing it all his life what to do, you might think that was embarrassing. The real interesting thing was, the guy had been doing it wrong all his life, and Stephen knew how to do it right.
Wow, that's funny.
It was very impressive. Very, very impressive.
And a different question. I read that you grew up in Africa. Is it true that you killed your first buffalo at like the age of 11?
I shot my first buffalo when I was 11. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Well, but what you can't explain to young people these days is they were different times.
Oh, of course.
Yes,
of course.
This was the 50s. As a little boy, you know, I wanted to be one of those great white hunters, like Hunter or Salu or somebody like that. You
mm-hmm.
know? In my head, I could draw that line between the left eye and the ear, you know, which is the brain shot because of an elephant's brain is slightly offset.
Mm-hmm.
I would no more think of killing an animal like that, than I would have sort of find some horrible simile. I'm appalled by the values that I had then as a child.
Well, you said it was a different time, and I fully understand that. I just asked because I recognize the time it was in. I recognize where you were, and, you know, hunting was a thing. I come from a hunting family up here in New England. Times are different, yes, obviously, but it's part of the fabric of when you grew up and where you grew up, and, yeah, I certainly don't have a problem with it. I just thought... It had to be for an 11-year-old. That's quite an experience to have.
Oh, well, yes, it's very scary because if you get it wrong,
right?
if you put the shot in the right place, he'll go down, boom, mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wound him, and my father always said, you know, you wound an animal, you find him, you finish him off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think he would have let me go into thick bush with a wounded buffalo alone, but you know, then the odds change because, you know, a wounded buffalo can move quieter than you, and all you'll hear is just that little snort as he's gone round behind you, that little snort as he gathers himself for that charge from 10 feet away.
See?
And a buffalo, unlike a bull, when a bull drops its head, it cannot see the target. Because it's protecting us.
Yeah.
When a buffalo drops its head, he can see those horns going in all the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. John, welcome to New Hampshire. Welcome to New England. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend at the event, and really a pleasure getting a chance to talk to you. Just enjoyed your work and love having you on the show. So we really appreciate it.
Well, it's lovely to be here.
Okay.
The trees are just beginning to turn, yeah. And I should think by the end of the weekend, New England will be in its full glory.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you for having me.
Look for a guy. Look for Roadkill.
Yes,
he's going to be there.
I will definitely look for you.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so he's an old guy. It's a story. What is?
Yeah.
He grew up in Africa. He got lost in the bush for days without water.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Almost didn't make it.
Yep.
Him and his dad. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of stories. We just didn't have the time. But, you know, I wanted to ask about what makes Steven Spielberg so great.
I mean, he's worked with, Spielberg, Peter Jackson.
No, he's worked with them all.
Yeah.
But Spielberg is one of the, come on, when it's all said and done years from now, Spielberg is going to be probably the most successful and one of the top five directors of our time.
Yep.
Period. If not top three, and I believe top three, easy. So, anyway, have fun at the Comic-Con.
I am. I'm going to have fun. I'll be there from 11 to 1 on
Saturday.
Is
there any of the people that are going to be there that you're going to make an effort to see?
I don't think so. I think he's definitely the one. I tried really hard to get one of the wrestlers on, but he doesn't get up past a certain time. So life goes on.
Those wrestlers. Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Buzz 24/7. And do you have any more tickets available? No, are you out?
Oh, I am gone. Those suckers flew. Right.
I tried for you, folks.
Sorry.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.